Gotta respect the bell, Goose. Gotta respect the bell. Welcome back to Crunch Time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, a prospectus from the stories. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling. There is also a pending option, which happens sometimes. Might actually happen this time. So this is kind of funny because I had a Crunch Exchange topic last week that I didn't get to, and it was based solely on a hot take I had about Manny Machado getting thrown at by Matt Barnes and him getting a 4-game suspension. The gist was, we later discussed last Thursday, actually, which was my opinion that pitchers should get suspended anywhere from 20 to 50 days for intentionally throwing at a player. I still have the opinion that should be a thing. And now I'm being joined today by a lot of people after Machado was thrown at for the 6th time last night by Chris Sale. Sounded off against the entire Red Sox organization, saying he lost respect for them, their coaches, players. He said he could retaliate by clocking Sale with his bat and would probably end up in jail, but Sale throws 100 at his grill and gets 2 days. He says MLB needs to act on that, but unwritten rules are guiding forces of baseball, and the guys who play it, creating written rules to replace them, could get some big-time backlash. The prospectus, you buy or sell that baseball needs to act and increase suspensions for pitchers who throw at players?
Yeah, I think it's hitting a boiling point now, and the fact that you've heard reactions from the commissioner and kind of his deputy sheriff, Joe Torre, realizing the dangers and how this can escalate quickly, I'm going to totally buy that.
A judge in Florida this week had some pretty harsh words for South Florida coach Charlie Strong after he levied the punishment to a second South Florida football player who was charged with a violent felony. One of them was a player pulling a gun during a road rage incident, and he was eventually shot 3 times. The other was for sexual battery and false imprisonment. The judge, a South Florida grad, more or less, said Strong doesn't have control of his program off the field and implored him to look at his situation and whether or not him being head coach is a good thing for the community because the players on his team are, for lack of a better term, menaces to society. Now, Strong has been at South Florida for just the last 5 months or so. The players in question were recruited by the former coaching staff, oddly enough, led by Oregon's new coach Willie Taggart. Now, it would be silly to say this is on Taggart, but is what the judge said about Strong silly as well? The prospectus, Judge Margaret Taylor's comments about Strong were unfair.
The bottom line is, first of all, nobody is going to defend guys who act like scumbags like that. But that sounds like she discovered it was her alma mater and took the time to do a little grandstanding, if this makes sense, and to lay it at the feet of whoever recruited these guys and is no longer there, or the coach who just took over, when it's you can't really call it a program run amok at this point. I mean, it's off season. It is two guys. If they're guilty of whatever they're charged with and they're really bad crimes, you know, they should have the book thrown at them. But all of a sudden, acting like this is a situation out of control? No. We're going to sell that.
So we're buying that she was unfair.
Oh, she was unfair. I'm sorry. You're right. I misread the prospectus.
NFL draft had quite a bit of fireworks this week, and it all began at pick number 2. We didn't have to wait that long. The Bears traded up with the 49ers, swapping picks and giving them a 3rd-rounder and 4th-rounder this year and a 3rd-rounder next year. The 49ers used the picks to get Solomon Thomas and trade up for Reuben Foster, so clearly they felt good about the deal, while many were left likening the Bears' end of the trade to the usual draft day tomfoolery of the Browns and or Jets because they ended up using the number 2 pick to get Mitch Trubisky, who had half of a good year in the ACC at North Carolina. He will battle Mike Glennon to be the starter this season, and the Bears hope he'll be the guy of the future. If he ends up being good, it will be impossible to say this wasn't a good deal for the Bears, but on paper right now, it sure looks like they got worked over by new Niners GM John Lynch. The prospectus, trading to 2 to draft Trubisky was as dumb as everybody is saying it is.
It can't be that easy. We can't say that mock drafts are silly. We don't know what's happening. It's the biggest crapshoot in sports. And then definitively say good, bad, or indifferent. But it really looks stupid. So get ready. We're going pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
I might have called my shot on that one. Deflategate. Bet you thought you were done with it. That's a negative, Ghost Rider, because Robert Kraft was interviewed this week and said that jealousy among owners is the only reason there were such harsh penalties against his team for deflating footballs. Here's the quote. If I hadn't won, I would be so angry at our folks and thinking about what we'd have to do to win a title. So our competitors, I understand how they brought pressure on the league office to be very strong and lobbied not to compromise on an issue that was nonsense and foolishness. End of quote. He's accusing NFL owners of colluding with the league to punish them more harshly than they should have because they're jealous of the team's success. That is a pretty big accusation. The prospectus, you buy or sell what Kraft is selling.
Bottom line is Deflategate accelerated and escalated is probably a better word because you have a commissioner, and in many cases, commissioners are lawyers. In this case, you're dealing with an arrogant megalomaniac who just couldn't let go and see the forest through the trees. So do I think Deflategate was a complete and total barrel of crap? Yes. Do I think it was collusion and jealousy among the owners? No. I think this was a Goodell thing, so I'm going to sell that.
The Noah Syndergaard issue has been pretty embarrassing this week for the Mets. So, as it's being reported, Thor felt discomfort in his bicep during a game. He refused to take an MRI after the game or in the next several days. Then his next start came up on the schedule, and the Mets sent him out there. He, of course, got shelled and left the game early. It was later revealed after he did get an MRI that he has a partially torn lat muscle. He's getting a second opinion in LA today, but conservative estimates are putting him out for the next 3 months with the injury. Mets GM Sandy Alderson is taking the blame for this, saying yesterday that the medical advice he got told him that the lat injury had nothing to do with the bicep discomfort, so he gave Syndergaard the okay to throw on Sunday. That's all fine and good, but he refused the MRI, which could have prevented the entire thing from happening. The prospectus, you buy or sell, this is on the GM, Alderson.
Yeah, by the way, it's not only a matter of he's important property to the Mets, but shouldn't Syndergaard be important property to himself?
Right.
He's young. He hasn't hit that 8-year, $218 million contract yet. It seemed a little childish and odd. I think there's just too much blame and too much concern to go around. So to pin it solely on Sandy Alderson, who's been pretty successful, seems a little bit out of line. I'm going to sell that one.
Yeah, and his logic is saying that he knew of two injuries. So you're going to put him out there with two different injuries? That makes even less sense.
Well, run him out there and say, throw lefty, try it.
I think he's just taking one for the team on this one. All right, Steve, time for me to fake some hockey knowledge again. Sid the Kid, who definitely sounds like he's a real person, got a concussion and was forced to leave Game 3 of Caps Pens the other night. He has been ruled out of Game 4 today. Some have called the hit on Matt Niskanen.
I think you got it right, finally.
Dirty, because he ended up hitting...
I kept missyllabizing.
Because he ended up hitting Crosby around the head area as he was falling. Video evidence doesn't really support that it was on purpose, but if you look at the whole play, Ovechkin kind of slashes him high, which causes Crosby to fall, which leads him to being hit in the head. So while it might not fall on Niskanen, the entire play by Washington still might not hold up to scrutiny, according to some. What say you? The prospectus. The hit on Crosby altogether was dirty.
I don't think it was dirty. I think it was poorly timed. I think it was a penalty, but penalties aren't always dirty. They're in the nature of the game. I think the five-minute major, I wouldn't have tossed him. I'd have looked at it and then allowed him to return a five-minute major substantial. I thought there was a lot of bad timing. And, of course, it's one of the greatest players in the world and is going to get scrutinized a little bit extra. So I'm going to sell that. And that is a wrap.